ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Thank you for coming, everyone, and all of those who have joined us online tonight to celebrate this most auspicious day of the year, Shri Rashtami.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudiraye.
Boy, look at all these great souls. I'm looking at all the great souls. All of you. Marlene's looking behind her. Because you are great souls. To come here on Radhashtami to celebrate this special occasion requires a very high connection somewhere. That to actually know about Radhashtami and have some taste for it. Everyone's in a jubilant mood today for no reason, just happy. There is a reason, and I'm going to talk about a few thoughts I've had in the last few hours. You know, Prabhupada mentions in the Krishna book introduction that people might get a hold of the Krishna book and then look at the cover. And Prabhupada was very particular about the cover. He was also particular about the 52 color plate pictures that are inside the Krishna book as well. He made a great arrangement, a grand arrangement, to make sure that those pictures went out to the world. And he mentions that someone might get the book and say, who's this Krishna and who's this girl with Krishna? Which is kind of interesting, because generally everywhere we go in the world, if you just look at magazines, if you examine the magazine rack anytime soon, when you're going through an airport or something like that, you'll notice that most of the magazines have pictures of beautiful people on them. And people are naturally attracted to these magazines, otherwise they wouldn't, to these pictures, otherwise the publishers wouldn't put them, the pictures on them, because they sell. And especially pictures of beautiful people together and so forth. So recently, I was talking to somebody about the pastimes of Krishna in the 10th canto, and it was someone who was, felt a little disturbed about it. An aspiring devotee, but he read them and he thought, why does Krishna have to, I mean, he could be a little more tame about the whole thing. These pastimes, the rasa dance, other people's wives, going off in the forest, and so forth. He said, you know, I grew up in Christianity, and we learned about morality and ethics, and after all, you know, Lord Jesus Christ set an example. He made a sacrifice for the world, and here's Krishna just off in the forest dancing and enjoying. How can we justify this? And I thought a lot about it before I answered his question, which came in the form of an email. But one of the answers is that, first of all, it's not an ordinary pastime. It's not the pastimes that boys and girls, quote-unquote, enjoy in the material world. As it's mentioned in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, famous verse in which Kaviraj Goswami says, Atmendriya Priti Vansha Tari Balikam, that the name of lust, material sense gratification, means Atmendriya Priti. So it's for my own satisfaction, Atmendriya Priti, for my senses. Atmendriya Priti Vansha, I have a desire to satisfy my senses. Tari Balikam. That, he said, is called kam, or lust. And of course, anybody who's read the Bhagavad Gita knows that lust is something that Krishna doesn't recommend getting involved with, because he said it's the great destroyer of the world. And by the way, if you have a cell phone, please turn it on and turn the ringer up as loud as you can. So we'd like to hear what you've got on your ringtone. Not only that, today we have a special. If your phone rings during the class, that you have to buy one Krishna book. It will cost you $10. And a Lagu Bhagavatamrita. Okay, so that will cost you $30 altogether. So please turn them up loud so we can hear. Put it on airplane mode. And then he said, conversely, Krishnendriya Priti. You see the difference? Atmendriya Priti, Krishnendriya Priti. So, Indriya means senses. So, Atmendriya Priti means love for my own sense gratification, desire to satisfy my senses. It's Krishnendriya Priti, Icha, Dari Prem Nam. He said, this is the name of love, is when you actually desire to please the senses of Krishna. No desire to please my senses, but it's a desire to please Krishna's senses. So there's a difference between the pastimes of Krishna and the gopis, for instance, and the pastimes that young boys and young girls attempt to enjoy here in the material world. Here it's called lust, because it's self-interest. I want to satisfy my senses. But in the spiritual world, it's actually completely pure. That is, it's a desire to satisfy Krishna's senses. So that's an important designation. But also, I was thinking about why Krishna does this. That is, he fully displays his pastimes here in this world as the supreme enjoyer. And the reason is that if we don't have the opportunity to hear about and to see what is the supreme enjoyment, and to hear about the supreme enjoyment of those who are serving the supreme enjoyer, then we won't be able to become free from this lower nature of the material world. As mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita also, Vishnu Shakti Vina Tarhi, that there's this energy of Lord Vishnu in this material world. Vishnu Shakti Praprokta Kshetra Gyakya Tatapara Avidya Karma Samyangya Tritiya Shaktir Ishite. Tritiya Shaktir Ishite. He mentions three kinds of energy. One is the superior energy. The other is the material energy, which is a third-class energy. And then there's the living entity who can choose between the two. And unless we have a clear choice and we actually can pinpoint what is real supreme enjoyment, then there's no opportunity for us to aspire for that kind of happiness. This is one of the reasons that Krishna comes to the material world, to display his pastimes, his lila, so that we can become attracted. There are verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam, for instance, and if you can grab this book for me, it's verse number 422.39, where it is said by Shukadeva Goswami, I believe, yat pada pankacha palasha vilasa bhaktya karmashrayam gratitam ukartayanti santa tadvanna rikta matayo yatayo pirudha shroto ganas tamarnam bhajavasudevam. In this verse says that unless it says that there are people like jnanis and yogis who try to overcome the waves of sense gratification in the material world. They perform great austerities, they cultivate knowledge and so forth, but because it's so powerful, this energy of Krishna's, they're swept away. And the reason they're swept away is because rikta matayo, it means two things. It means they're devoid of devotional service, and rikta matayo means they've lost their minds. They don't surrender to Krishna. But those, yet pada pankaja palasha vilasa bhaktya, means that those who are enjoying the happiness that comes from the lotus feet of Krishna, palasha, pankaja palasha, everyone say. See, even just saying that is nice, isn't it? Pankaja palasha. It means lotus-like feet. His feet are just beautiful like a lotus. And actually, his toes, beautiful toes. Those who do deity worship, they know this. When you worship the deity of Krishna, who is Krishna himself, he manifests in this world so that we can see his form. Because we can't see the spiritual form of Krishna, but he comes in ways that we can see with our material eyes. Devotees relish decorating the deity, seeing the lotus feet of Krishna, his beautiful toes and so forth, decorating him with jewelry and so on. And they actually enjoy. Yat pada pankaja palasha vilasa bhaktya. I'm going to read the purport to you because it's very much in tune with the message I'm trying to convey today. First, the translation is, the devotees who are always engaged in the service of the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord can very easily overcome hard-knotted desires for fruitive activities. Because this is very difficult, the non-devotees, the jnanis and yogis, although trying to stop the waves of sense gratification, cannot do so. Therefore, you are advised to engage in the devotional service of Krishna, the son of Vasudev. Srila Prabhupada, there are three kinds of transcendentalists trying to overcome the influence of the modes of material nature, the jnanis, yogis, and bhaktas. All of them attempt to overcome the influence of the senses, which is compared to the incessant waves of a river. The waves of a river flow incessantly, and it is very difficult to stop them. Similarly, the waves of desire for material enjoyment are so strong they cannot be stopped by any process other than bhakti yoga. The bhaktas, by their transcendental devotional service under the lotus feet of the Lord, become so overwhelmed with transcendental bliss that automatically their desires for material enjoyment stop. The jnanis and yogis who are not attached to the lotus feet of the Lord simply struggle against the waves of desire. They are described in this verse as rikta matayaha, which means devoid of devotional service. In other words, the jnanis and yogis, although trying to be free from the desires of material activities, actually become more and more entangled in false philosophical speculation or strenuous attempts to stop the activities of the senses. As stated previously, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janaya Yashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayara Haitukam. Here also the same point is stressed. Bhajavasudevam, everyone please say, indicates that one who is engaged in the loving service of Krishna, the son of Vasudev, can very easily stop the waves of desires. As long as one continues to try to artificially stop the waves of desires, he will certainly be defeated. That is indicated in this verse. Desires for fruitive activities are strongly rooted, but the trees of desire can be uprooted completely by devotional service because devotional service employs superior desire. One can give up inferior desires when engaged in superior desires. To try to stop desires is impossible. One has to desire the supreme in order not to be entangled in inferior desires. Jnanis maintain a desire to become one with the supreme, but such desire is also considered to be kama, lust. Similarly, the yogis desire mystic power, and that is also kama. And the bhaktas, not being desirous of any sort of material enjoyment, become purified. There's no artificial attempt to stop desire. Desire becomes a source of spiritual enjoyment under the protection of the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord. It is stated herein by the Kumaras that the lotus feet of Lord Krishna are the ultimate reservoir of all pleasure. One should therefore take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord instead of trying unsuccessfully to stop desires for material enjoyment. As long as one is unable to stop the desire for material enjoyment, there is no possibility of becoming liberated from the entanglement of material existence. It may be argued that the waves of a river are incessantly flowing and that they cannot be stopped, but the waves of the river flow towards the sea. When the tide comes over the river, it overwhelms the flowing of the river, and the river itself becomes overflooded, and the waves from the sea become more prominent than the waves from the river. Similarly, a devotee with intelligence plans so many things for the service of the Lord in Krishna consciousness that stagnant material desires become overflooded by the desire to serve the Lord. I'm going to read that sentence again because it's very practical and relatable to everybody who's engaged in the Sankirtan movement. Similarly, a devotee with intelligence plans so many things for the service of the Lord in Krishna consciousness that stagnant material desires become overflooded by the desire to serve the Lord. As confirmed by Yamunacharya, since he has been engaged in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, there's always a current of newer and newer desires flowing to serve the Lord, so much so that the stagnant desire of sex life becomes very insignificant. Yamunacharya even says that he spits on such desires. Bhagavad Gita 2.59 also confirms, Param drishva nivartate. The conclusion is that by developing a loving desire for service of the lotus feet of the Lord, we subdue all material desires for sense gratification. Much to the point, isn't it? Yat pada pankacha palasha vilasa bhaktya. So, we have to know what is the supreme enjoyment. We have to see it. We have to be engaged in serving the supreme enjoyer. And as far as sacrifice goes, for instance, this person was talking about Jesus Christ making sacrifice. If there's sacrifice to be made in this world, then that means there's somebody you're sacrificing for somewhere. There's a counterpart that is accepting that sacrifice. And so the formula that the gopis are showing us, that Srimati Radharani is emblematic of, is that selfless love for Krishna. But paradoxically, the more that Srimati Radharani and the gopis of Vrindavan give themselves to Krishna selflessly, the more they enjoy. In fact, they enjoy so much that Krishna starts wondering how they're enjoying more than he is, and he's the supreme enjoyer. And then there's a competition between the two of them. Because with their pure love, Ruda Bhava, it's called in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which means completely unalloyed love, which I already defined, which means I'm doing it only for the satisfaction of Krishna's senses. In fact, one of the characteristics of this Ruda Bhava, or pure love, is that when the gopis, these exalted devotees, are serving Krishna, their ecstasy from serving Krishna selflessly becomes so profound that sometimes it gets in the way of their service, and then they curse the bliss. They don't want it. They don't want the happiness that comes, which is actually forced upon them, because it interferes with their service. They would rather not have it because it interferes. So this is the nature of the service of the gopis of Vrindavan, which is mentioned in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita especially. So, again and again, the Shastras tell us that unless we have this particular quality of experience, that we won't be satisfied. And we have to also have those examples of devotees who are performing service at that level. So, Srimati Radharani, throughout the Gaudiya literatures, the Gaudiya Vaishnav literatures, is shown as the pinnacle of all devotion. And this quality of pure devotion is also mentioned in the pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj, when serving Lord Nrsingadev, was, of course, challenged by his father, and Lord Nrsingadev came and killed Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu said then to Prahlad, take a benediction. And what did Prahlad Maharaj say? He said, I'm not a businessman. I'm not a vanik. I'm not serving you because I want something in return. I don't want a benediction. You're the supreme. I'm your servant. I serve you. That's just the way it is. That's our relationship. I don't want anything. And Lord Nrsingadev had to ask him again and again, no, take some benediction. Finally said, please save my father, the father who had just abused him and had tried to kill him. So he said, please liberate my father. Lord Nrsingadev said, that's already done. That comes automatically. Ask for something else. Prahlad Maharaj said, if you are to give me any benediction, then give me this benediction, that from within the core of my heart, I have no material desire. This is the standard, the beginning standard of devotion, pure devotional service, not asking for anything, simply that I can remain the servant of your servant, Prahlad Maharaj goes. So the devotees see this as the bedrock of devotional service. But there are even more refined examples of this kind of service. And this, throughout the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, for instance, is the topic. When Narada Muni goes to find out which devotee has received the most mercy of Krishna, he makes an investigation, and he goes from one devotee to the next to meet these great devotees and to see how they're performing their devotional practices. So each one that he meets says, it's not me. And they give their reasons why I actually don't have a very high standard of devotional service. And this is another symptom of those who are advanced in devotional service. They don't consider themselves advanced. They consider some other devotee to be advanced. So you'll notice in the first part of the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, when Narada begins to interview various devotees that he's heard of, they say, it's not me. And they point to the next devotee. Narada follows the train of devotees in the hierarchy, and he goes all the way to Vrindavan, where he finds the gopis of Vrindavan. And amongst them, Srimati Radharani is known amongst them to be the best. And this comes out in the Sri Ipudeshamrita. This a beautiful book, which starts off with very practical instructions. Vacho vegam manasa krodha vegam, which means watch what you say, watch what you eat, be careful how you move about in this world, control your senses, and then progresses through following six practices that enhance your devotional service, avoiding six bad habits that destroy it, how to relate with devotees, how to see pure devotees and honor them, also then how to chant Hare Krishna. And in the last three verses of the Upadeshamrita, again, were pointed towards Srimati Radharani in the spiritual world. And this hierarchy is given. First of the places, Vaikuntas Janito Vara Marupuri Tatrapi Rasotsavad Vrindarani Mudara Pani Ramana Tatrapi Govardhanaha Radha Kundami Hapi Gokulapate Pramamrata Plavanat Kuriyada Syavi Rajato Giritite Sevam Viveki Nakaha. It's mentioned that there's higher than Vaikuntha is the of Mathura, because Krishna appeared there. And higher than Mathura are the forests, the various forests of Vrindavan. Name some of the forests of Vrindavan, please. Talavan, Madhuvan, Bahulavan. So everyone knows these forests, and Krishna is famous because in every one of these forests, he performed some wonderful pastime. Like in Talavan, he killed that jackass named Dhenukasura. A real jackass he was. He whipped, Balaram whipped him around, threw him in a tree. I mean, it's just outrageous pastimes. It's so fun for everybody. You can hear him again and again, and there are deeper and deeper meanings in all these forests. But then he says, above those forests of Vrindavan, there's Govardhan Hill. Because Krishna lifted it with his little finger. And he held it for how long? I heard about it too. It's amazing. And everybody came there to Govardhan, and everybody was stood with Krishna under the hill. Nobody got hungry. Nobody got thirsty. They had full access 24 hours a day just to stand there. The devotees who were friends with Krishna were joking with him the whole time. His mother was massaging his arm, making sure he wouldn't lose his strength to drop the hill. The gopis were watching him, and Krishna kept looking at the gopis, and then he got embarrassed because he thought Balaram saw him, and then his finger shook, and everyone thought, oh no, he's going to drop the hill. But this is, Rupa Goswami says, this is the glory of Govardhan Hill. Not only that, Krishna went there with his devotees every day and performed wonderful pastimes. He fed the cows there. He played everywhere around Govardhan Hill. He even had trysts with the gopis. He arranged to meet them in various places around Govardhan. So it's a very precious place. But then he says, even higher than that is the Radhakund. And anybody who's been to Govardhan, spend some time at Govardhan Hill. You just walk around and around and around every day, and you can just drink in the environment there. It's so rarefied. But you come to Radhakund, which is at the tip of Govardhan Hill. Govardhan Hill is actually shaped like a peacock. And at the back end, the tail of the peacock, there's a temple of Lord Nrsingadev. And at the very, on the head of Govardhan Hill, on the eye of the peacock, there's Sri Radhakund. And that's the highest place, because Srimati Radharani's Kund. And Krishna performs many pastimes with her at that Radhakund. And also, Srila Prabhupada mentions in his purport that that's what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was looking for when he went to that area. He actually was searching for that Sri Radhakund. He found just a little pond, actually just almost a little bigger than a puddle, was out in the middle of a field, and he identified that as Radhakund, began taking bath there, and everyone was amazed. Later he had his devotees, Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, excavate that place, and now if you go there to Radhakund, you'll find a large lake where there are festivities every single day. The devotees go there and worship Sri Radhakund. Now in the next verse, out of the last three, in the Upadeshamrita, Rupa Goswami then tells the hierarchy of individuals in the world. He says, Karmi bhya parito hare priyataya vyaktim yayur jnaninas tebhyo jnani vimukta bhakti parama premaika nishtastata. Tebhyasta pashupala pankaja drishasta bhyopi sararika preshta tadvad iyam tadiya sarasi tanna shayat kakriti. And that is that lowest of all are the karmis. And there's two kinds of karmis. Those who are, maybe don't move that so fast, it's distracting everybody for some reason. Two kinds of karmis. One kind of karmi is those who are vikarmis. And vikarmis don't know anything, and they just get sense gratification at any cost. And it's a very high cost because you get entangled in the laws of material nature. And the other kind are good karmis. There's bad karmis and good karmis. So the good karmis are the karmis that follow the Vedas in order to elevate themselves. And because they follow the Vedas, even though they're searching after material happiness, they're trying to find a superior kind of material enjoyment. But because they're following the Vedas to do it, Krishna likes them. Because they're following something. So he says, Karmi bhya parito hare priyataya vyaktim yaro jnaninas. Out of many, many such karmis, someone may come to the point of realizing that it's a waste of time here trying to find enjoyment in the material world. After all, it's the same old stuff repackaged over and over again. It's a really big fake-out. So the jnanis come to the point, bahunam janmanamante jnanavam mam prapadyate, that after many births of getting faked out by the material energy, they realize that I should become detached from the material world. And of all the jnanis, The ones who then become bhaktas are better. Bahunam janmanamante gyanavamam prapadyante vasudeva sarvamite. They realize after some time that actually Krishna is the source of everything, so they become devotees. Then he says, of all the devotees, the best are those who become pure unalloyed devotees. And out of all the pure unalloyed devotees, the best are the gopis of Vrindavan, and of all the gopis of Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani is the best. And finally, in the last verse, he says, Krishnasyo chai pranayavasati prasibir apiradha. Excuse me, I blew that one. Let me start over again. Krishnasyo chai pranayavasati priyasibyo piradha kundam chasya munibir abitas tadrigeva vyadhari yat preshtar apyalam asulabam kimpunar bhakti bhajam tat tenidam sakrid eva sarak sak. Sorry, this is a travesty. Krishnasyo chai pranayavasati priyasibyo piradha kundam chasya munibir abitas tadrig eva vyadhai yat preshtar apyalam asulabam kimpunar bhakti bhajam tat premidam sakrit eva snatur avishkaroti. I missed a syllable. In any case, this verse, please, yeah, thank you. This verse mentions that out of all the, you can just go down to the translation. Out of the many objects of favor, delight, and of all the lovable damsels of Brajabhumi, Srimati Radharani is certainly the most treasured object of Krishna's love, and in every respect her divine kund is described by great sages as similarly dear to him. Undoubtedly, Radhakund is very rarely attained even by the great devotees. Therefore, it is even more difficult for ordinary devotees to attain. If one simply bathes once within those holy waters, one's pure love for Krishna is fully aroused. So this is the last verse in the Sri Upadeshamrita. This is the essence of all advice that Rupa Goswami is giving us in this book, pointing to Srimati Radharani. Now, there are other Vaishnava Sampradayas who often say, well, first of all, they say, how is it you're claiming that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Everybody knows Lord Narayan is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After all, he has four arms. How could Krishna be the Supreme Personality of Godhead? He just has two arms. And they say, well, Krishna's, Lord Narayan is the source of Lord Krishna and so forth. The Vaishnavacharyas, Gaudiya Vaishnavacharyas, followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, go to great lengths to explain through the scriptures in minute detail how it is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In fact, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Ete Chamsha Kalapumsa Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam Indrari Vyakulam Lokam Indriyani Mrigeve, that this verse points very clearly to Krishna being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And from many other scriptures, and you'll find this in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita, there are verifications and explanations of why Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then some of them might say, well, okay, we'll give you that. But who's the Srimati Radharani? We just can't, that's too far. We can't, she's not, where is she ever mentioned? Srimati Radharani. And they'll actually challenge like this because they have a different bhav. They have a different view of things. WD-40, please. Otherwise, keep the door closed. Thank you. Yes, Radhakripa, if you could find a can, and it stops it instantly. It doesn't go well with Radhakata. So they say, who is the Srimati Radharani? Now I'm going to give you the Srimad Bhagavatam, amongst all Vaishnavas, is the ultimate evidence. Because it's a natural commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. So where is it in the Srimad Bhagavatam that Srimati Radharani is mentioned. This is important because we should know why we're worshiping Srimati Radharani, and that's why I'm mentioning, first of all, from a logical point of view, we have to understand that this material world is a reflection of the spiritual world, and that the enjoyment that we see here is flickering and disappointing, but its substance is in the spiritual world. And that is in the pastimes of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. This is called the Adi Ras. Everyone here is looking for the ultimate enjoyment in the material world, and what they're getting is the opposite. This is a difficulty here. You get the opposite of what you were hoping for. You look and you think, this will bring me the highest enjoyment, and guess what? It brings you the greatest misery. However, in the spiritual world, that thing that we're looking for, that enjoyment, that happiness, can be had, and it's in the pastimes of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Because it's the Adi Ras. It's the origin of what everyone's looking for here, but here we only get the reflection. So, references in the Srimad Bhagavatam are very, they're somewhat hidden, but actually they're very clear. They're very clear. So, here in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, text number 30, this is amidst the pastimes of the Rasa Leela. And in the Rasa Leela, we know that Krishna calls the gopis with his flute. Each one of them hear his call through the flute, and they drop whatever they're doing and they run to him in the forest. None of them collaborate with the others. It's not like they call each other up and say, "Are you going?" They just go. They're spontaneously attracted and they go to the forest, and once they get there and they find Krishna, they also find that they're all there. They say, "Oh, we all came." They all heard the same call. When Krishna plays his flute, it actually calls to them, and they come running to the forest. So once they're there, Krishna begins to play games with their head, and he starts asking him questions like, "Why did you come here? This is a pretty dangerous place for you. Well, shouldn't you go home?" And there's a lot of details, of course, in this. But in the 10th canto, 30th chapter, 26th verse, it's mentioned the gopis began following Krishna's path as shown by his many footprints. But when they saw that these prints were thoroughly intermixed with those of his dearmost consort, they became perturbed and spoke as follows. So, after the gopis came to the forest, and then they saw that Krishna was going to let them stay, and they started interacting with Krishna, they thought to themselves, "We're the most fortunate women in the universe." And then Krishna disappeared to increase their desire for him. And then they went searching throughout the forest to find him. And what they found was, first of all, they questioned everybody, all the trees, all the creepers, all the animals. None of them gave a clue. But then they found Krishna's footprints, and that's where they are now. So he said, the gopis began following Krishna's path as shown by his many footprints, but when they saw that these prints were thoroughly intermixed with those of his dearmost consort, they became perturbed and spoke as follows. So in the verse itself, the word is vadvaha, of his special consort. So this is noted in the Bhagavatam in several places, that amongst all the gopis, there is a very special gopi. There's one that's a certain gopi who's the best of all of them. This is from the very evidence of the Bhagavatam itself. Text 27, here we see the footprints of some gopi who must have been walking along with the son of Nanda Maharaj. He must have put his arm on her shoulder, just as an elephant rests his trunk on the shoulder of an accompanying she-elephant. And then I'm jumping ahead to another section, and that is in 1033, text number 8 and 9. As the gopis sang in praise of Krishna, their feet danced, their hands gestured, and their eyebrows moved with playful smiles. With their braids and belts tied tight, their waist bending, their faces perspiring, the garments on their breasts moving this way and that, and their earrings swinging on their cheeks, Lord Krishna's young consorts shone like streaks of lightning in a mass of clouds. Text 8. Eager to enjoy conjugal love, their throats colored with various pigments, the gopis sang loudly and danced. They were overjoyed by Krishna's touch, and they sang songs that filled the entire universe. Anybody here like music and songs? Now, when I read this purport, you're going to be amazed. According to the authoritative book on music called Sangita Sara, quote, there are as many musical ragas as there are species of life. Among these ragas are 16,000 principal ones which were manifested by the gopis. Thus the gopis created 16,000 different ragas or musical modes, and these have subsequently been disseminated throughout the world. The words yad gitenedam avritam also indicate that even today devotees throughout the world sing the praises of Krishna following the example of the gopis. Text 9. One gopi, joining Lord Mukunda in his singing, sang pure melodious tones that rose harmoniously above his. Krishna was pleased and showed great appreciation for her performance, saying, "Excellent, excellent." Then another gopi repeated the same melody, but in a special metrical pattern, and Krishna praised her also. 10. When one gopi grew tired from the rasa dance, she turned to Krishna, standing at her side, holding a baton, and grasped his shoulder with her arm. The dancing had loosened her bracelets and the flowers in her hair. In the purport, the previous verse states that Sri Krishna honored the gopis for their dancing and singing. And in this verse, we see how the gopis responded by dealing intimately and confidentially with him. Here, a tired gopi held onto Krishna's shoulder with her arm resting against him. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that the word gada in this verse indicates a baton suitable for a dancing master. Lord Krishna brought this item of paraphernalia to enhance his enjoyment of the rasa dance. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti states that the gopi mentioned here is Srimati Radharani, whereas the two gopis mentioned in the previous verse in order are Vishakha and Lalita. And at the beginning of these pastimes, the reference to Srimati Radharani is Aradita. This is why her name is Radha, which means that she's distinguished amongst all the other gopis as the one who is the best, the one who is doing the most service. So it's there within the Srimad Bhagavatam. We know that Shukadev Goswami avoided speaking very articulately and giving many details about this particular gopi, Srimati Radharani, because he knew that by speaking about her, he would go into a kind of devotional ecstasy, and he may not be able to finish speaking the Bhagavatam, which was his duty, which is commensurate with what I said earlier about how devotees check their own ecstasy in order to serve Krishna. They're not interested in that ecstasy because their main purpose is to serve Krishna, but the happiness comes nonetheless. So, we are in a very rarefied situation, and that is that we are connected to Sampradaya where the devotee's goal is the highest type of devotion. And the emblem of that devotion is Srimati Radharani. And very particularly, we are followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it may seem that the kind of devotion we're talking about in Srimati Radharani and the gopis of Vrindavan is impossible to obtain. How do I go from where I am now to this very exalted situation, to even become inspired by this kind of devotional service? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna and Radharani combined, Sri Krishna, Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, Nahi Anya, has come to the material world to distribute this kind of love, and the prerequisite for entering into it, this mood of Vrindavan, is to serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a very practical way. That is, by helping to spread the Sankirtan movement. Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur says that by engaging in Dasya Ras, that is, this mood of service, just being a menial servant to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then naturally love for Radha and Krishna awakens within one's heart. And as we all know from the song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which says, Eshe Vrindavan Radhesham Pabe Darshan, that at the end of life, Gora Kripa Hale Hai, if one has the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one will naturally have the darshan of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. So, the Srimad Bhagavatam is vital to all those who want to rise above the so-called enjoyment of the material world and develop a desire for real spiritual enjoyment and unalloyed devotional service. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's most important goals are given in a verse from the Chaitanya Manjusha, which says, Arajo Bhagavan Rajesha Tanayastha Dhamma Vrindavana Ramya Kachirupasana Vrajavidu Vargina Vokalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Pumarto Mahan. And that is that he says, these are the highest opinions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or these are the opinions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that Krishna and his abode, Vrindavan, are non-different. And that the highest method of worshipping Krishna was that which was conceived by the gopis of Vrindavan, their spontaneous love for Krishna. And he says that the ultimate authority on all spiritual matters is Srimad Bhagavatam. It's spotless Purana, perfect evidence. And then finally he says, the goal of life is to develop prema, pure love for Krishna. So how is it available in Kali Yuga? Because this is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. If that's not apparent by now, stick around. Don't stick around. It could get worse. But in this age, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu miraculously is distributing this method for coming to the highest kind of devotion as was conceived by the gopis of Vrindavan and is exemplified by Srimati Radharani. And this can be done by following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. And therefore, in one of his poems, Nartam Das Thakur writes that if someone approaches the great ocean of the Sankirtan movement and dives in deeply, that person will then come out of that ocean on the shore of the pastimes of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. So the gateway to this conception of life and to coming to the pinnacle of devotional service is to follow Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his movement. And very practically for all of us, there's this system given through our founder Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, that by chanting 16 rounds, following four regulative principles, constantly hearing the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. How often do you have to hear it?
Constantly.
Constantly. If you're feeling anxiety in life, or you're not feeling satisfied or fulfilled, it means you're not hearing enough. Because if you hear more, then you'll feel satisfied. And also working very hard to help spread the Sankirtan movement all over the world. These practical applications of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement were given to us by Srila Prabhupada, and that is what we're doing here at ISKCON of Silicon Valley, which is the center point for the Silicon Valley. Just as Naimasaranya is the center of the universe, and that's where all the sages go to talk about how to make spiritual advancement. So similarly, this temple, we measured it out, it's the exact center of Silicon Valley, and we invite all spiritually inclined people to come here and take this process, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by which one can come to the highest stage of devotion and stay here, huddled in this area, chant Hare Krishna, hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, and then go out and chant Hare Krishna and distribute it to other people. This is a formula for success. And now we'll take a few reflections because we have 6 minutes left. Dhiraj. Here comes the microphone. Well, now we have about 2 minutes left. Okay, go ahead.
One should have a desire for the in order to overcome the inferior desires.
Yes, you actually have to become entangled. Just as much as one becomes entangled. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Getting entangled in the material world? Similarly, there's a way that one can become entangled in Krishna's pastimes. And we have to become wholly attracted. And that's altogether possible because Krishna and Radharani are the ultimate attraction. The ultimate attraction. We just have to hear about them. And also the environment, and in such a way that we don't overstimulate our senses to become reattracted to the material world. Yes.
One more thing is that if you have anxieties, that means that you're not hearing Srimad Bhagavatam enough.
Yeah, that's a fact. You got to hear more. And you have to hear a lot. Kurnath, all the way in the back, pass it back fast.
When we get busy making more and more plans for serving Krishna and serving the Sankirtan movement, that they become like the waves of the ocean, that they overwhelm the plans for material enjoyment, which are like inferior waves of a river.
Yeah, I've seen it in an estuary where there's a clear water river coming down into the ocean, and at high tide, the ocean backs up and it pushes the river back. So those waves of material enjoyment are overwhelmed. We can't do it ourselves. It's impossible. Therefore, we sing in the Mangalartik, Sangsara Dava Nada Dita Loka. There's a way in which there has to be overwhelming force, this grace descending to us. This comes from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yes?
I have this problem where I only tend to think of God whenever I'm in trouble, and I seem to forget Him when things are going fine. And I just wonder, is it one of those things where how do you keep Him in your thoughts when there seems to be no external situation that you find yourself in really yearning for Him?
Well, first of all, you're not alone. It's a natural tendency. Therefore, Queen Kunti says, "Janmaishvara shuta shri bireda mana madapu man naivarhat yavidatum vai tvama kinchana gochara." She said, everyone gets intoxicated by janma. Shuta shri bir, I'm beautiful, I'm wealthy, I got a little money in the bank. Okay. You know, we have a short life. It's really short compared to the demigods. Some demigods live for millions and billions of years. If someone told you you're going to live for 3 billion years, you might procrastinate a little bit. But we only have, 100 years, maybe 60. And if you take away all the time looking at Facebook and sleeping, you only have a couple of years. So good association is important. If you get an association of devotees who are eagerly engaged and feel that urgency, then it helps. Yes. Quick.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for a wonderful class. I really like the answer you provided to the devotee who wrote you the email. And the first point that there is both tattva and tathya, like there is, it's very different. It's not ordinary pastimes. And even when we approach, we have to always remind ourselves so that we approach with awe and reverence. So thank you for wonderful answer.
Yeah, if we don't see that there is a supreme enjoyer, look, let me put it this way. If I don't see that there's a supreme enjoyer, then I may go on with the misguided conception that I am the enjoyer at one level or another. So Krishna comes here out of mercy and shows his pastimes to display that. Yes, Shraddha.
Thank you so much, Maharaj, for...
Hold it close. Yeah, go.
Thank you so much, Maharaj, for making the day magical, not just this. Since morning, there's some magic today.
I didn't make the day magical. I just showed up. It was magical all morning long. It was very... These days are actually incarnations of Krishna. And in this prayer, Shuddha Bhakata Charanarenu, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Janani, that bhakti is born on these days. You know, it's like one day, you know, you come in contact, next day you got a little kid running around. Sound familiar? So similarly, it's born. So if you take advantage of these days, then the next day you get up and you say, oh, I have bhakti, it's born, that wasn't there yesterday. Yes.
Thank you. Samarat, I liked where you mentioned that a devotee uses his intelligence to plan things, and then his stagnant material desires, which are there from so many births, they get overflooded by a desire at the large.
That was in Prabhupada's purport. Yeah. Thank you very much. So, yes, Hansapriya.
I wanted to make an announcement. I didn't want it to anybody this action because I know how powerful it is, because I carry one reflection in the morning that you mentioned that Radharani's love is the pure love. And you mentioned that she is a service, like we want a service, her service is just what purifies us. So I carried that throughout the day.
She's our patroness. We're following Srimati Ram.
Haribo! Natariyar Marman, Natariyar Marman, hey, Natariyar Marman, Natariyar Marman, Natariyar Marman, Natariyar Marman.